Let's draw our attention to the most important conversation that you will ever have. And it's ongoing, it's constant, and it's in the silence, it's in the secret of your mind. It's the conversation that you have with yourself. And many of us are aware of this. It's kind of a running dialogue, and some people perhaps it's more about imagery, or it's only there when something happens. But this conversation is so important. And if it's nice, you've got this kind of inbuilt cheerleader cheering you on along the way, being kind, being supportive. If it's critical, which for me, for a lot of my life, it was incredibly critical, it can be like you have this inner bully just berating and criticizing everything that you do. Now, this conversation fuels our self-esteem. And if we don't start to become aware of it, it is just left to run riot. It can dictate the decisions that we make, the friendships that we invest in. It can dictate how we feel about the world and about ourselves. Therefore, it is so important to think about. If you're wondering what that inner voice sounds like for you, what the characteristics are that it holds, I want you to think about, what do you say? What's that response internally when you drop something? When you get something wrong? When you forget someone's birthday? When you leave the house without that one thing that you really needed? Does it say, "Ah, it's all right, these things happen"? Or does it criticize and berate you? What does that voice sound like? Now, I think it's so helpful to realize that that voice is not you. It's not you. If it's not you, then who are you? You are the one who is observing and hearing that voice. So if that voice isn't you, then who is it? That voice is made up, it's created, it's like this amalgamation of all of the ways that people have spoken to you and treated you along the way, and all the opinions that you've gained off the back of that. You might think, actually, some of my internal dialogue sounds like that teacher or that bully or that angry person at my school. And you might start to notice what this internal dialogue has been built upon. Another way of determining whether your internal dialogue is more critical than kind is if I were to ask you, if you spoke to a friend or a family member or even your child in the way that you spoke to yourself, would you have any friends? What would they think of you? Would it be nurturing that relationship? What would it do to their self-esteem? What would it make them think that you felt about them? If we all have the same value, if we all have the same worth, and if you value your children's worth as not worthy of being spoken to in the way that you speak to yourself, then quite frankly, it's not good enough for you either. When I've worked with this internal dialogue with some clients of mine, some of the response has been, but my inner critic keeps me on the straight and narrow. My inner critic keeps me good, keeps me performing well, keeps me aiming high. I argue that actually we don't need to be critical to ourselves to get good results. We don't need to be critical towards ourselves so that we're good people. Imagine a school. It has two classes. You've got one teacher in one class, and this teacher is critical, is strict. If the kids get something wrong, he comes at it with discipline until they get it right. He shouts, he spits, and those children get really good grades. And then you've got the class next door, and they get exactly the same grades, but that teacher is a lot more calmer. There's a lot less shouting coming from that room. In fact, there's none at all. And if a child gets something wrong, that teacher will sit down beside them and will try and work out with them. He will say, you're just learning. Let me help you. Let me support you. And there's no criticism. There's no anger. It's just supportive. It's a supportive environment. Now, both of those classes get the same marks, the same results, but which one would you rather be in? Which one would you rather send your child to when that time comes? Criticism and supportive, kind compassion can both get us really far, but the one will damage self-esteem and confidence, and the other will not just nourish it, it will encourage it to grow. So now you're more aware of what this internal chatter, this internal dialogue is. What do you do about it? What if it's being critical and bullying? How can you make it kinder and more compassionate? Ultimately, it's a habit. It's a habit that has been built up over the years. It's probably gone unquestioned. But the good thing, the best thing about habits, even the worst ones, is that habits can be changed. So in addressing this internal dialogue, it's essentially starting to become aware of what it is, aware of those words that leap in. Because as we know, we cannot control that first reaction. We cannot control the first kind of words or the tone that enters our mind that moment that we drop something. But we can control what we do next. And it might be that, say, I drop that mug of tea on the floor or that bottle of milk, and my first response is, you idiot. What I can then do is introduce that second, more kinder and compassionate response. And whilst that critical one might be kind of modeled on a bully, you know, is there someone kind and compassionate in my life who I can imagine, what would they say to me? What would I say to my child? What would I say to someone that I cared about, even if for a while I've cared about them far more than I've cared about myself? What would I say to them? I might say, oh dear, one of those things. Let's get a cloth. Fortunately, we've got other mugs. Let's stick that kettle back on. It's not the end of the world. So how can you start to bring in a more kind and compassionate response? And I promise you that in time, that habit will start to change. It will start to reform. And I am so happy to say that my internal dialogue is starting to shift and starting to change. And actually, so often, not all the time, but it's that kind and supportive response that takes the first place. So it does work. And yes, it can feel like hard work, but it does work. And along with it will come an increased sense of self-esteem, an increased understanding of your worth, an increased desire to actually start doing those things that are caring towards yourself, an increased ability to start giving yourself some of that kindness and compassion that you give to other people. Now, I love the idea that there is a little us inside of the grown-up us. You know those moments in the morning when the alarm goes off or the baby wakes and you're just there thinking, oh, I want to stay in bed today. I want to roll over. I want to watch some TV. I want to read some books. I want to doze. I want to eat snacks. I just don't want to be an adult today. And then you've got that grown-up you that kicks in and says, come on, you're a mother. You've got responsibilities. Up you get. Downstairs, it's breakfast time. Now, we all have that little us inside of ourselves that is like a child. You might find it helpful to find a photograph or bring to mind an image of younger you, because that can encourage you to find that kindness and that compassion. So as that inner critic reduces in volume because you're putting more energy and focus into that kind and compassionate response that you so deserve, those acts of kindness, those acts of self-care and self-respect become easier to do.